This is All About Wine on Blog Talk Radio, the talk show dedicated to the wine industry since 2009, originating from Florida Estates Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida, featuring winemaker, cellar master, vineyardist, and tasting expert, Ron.
Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is just trying to educate people and trying to make wine less confusing and more friendly.
Vice President and General Manager of Florida Estates Winery, from coast to coast and around the world.
You know, we really have had some neat people on the program. I love that.
Call our guest line at any time during the live show at area code 646-727-3235, and let's talk about wine. Again, the phone number to call is 646-727-3235. And now, All About Wine is on. Here's Ron.
Hey, bus people. Thank you. Nice, beautiful weather here in Florida tonight. It is Thursday, the 12th of October, 7:01. If that is the time and date that you're listening to this, then you're listening to me live. If that is not the time and date you're listening to me, then you're on archives, which is cool. We have a lot of archive listeners, and that's great with me. If you want to call in and you are listening live, 646-727-3235. Let's keep it about wine, if you will, please. Our wine-associated stuff, the wildfires we're going to talk about a little bit tonight and stuff like that. Mike's not with us. He is feeling a little under the weather, so he is recovering, I hope, anyway. I also am having some sinus problems. I have had sinus problems my whole life, so it's not unusual. I've come accustomed to having sinus bother me, and this is, the last 3 or 4 days, it's really been acting up. Gets to the point where I can't breathe and stuff because of the sinus, but right now, I'm good. If at any time during the program I all of a sudden just stop, it's because of that. So, but we hope it doesn't happen. We're going to talk about the fires. If you haven't heard about it, you should. Napa, Sonoma, California's wine country is burning up. They're having some serious, serious problems out there. We will get into that a little bit, although I have some other things to talk about before we get into that. Number one. The 5th annual Pasco County Pet Fest was last Saturday. Yay. I should have a yay for that. Let's see if we can't find a little yay for that. The bus people should cheer me for that. Bus people, what's wrong? You're not yaying. Okay, let's try this again. Pasco County Pet Fest, the 5th annual Pasco County Pet Fest was last Saturday. So, thank you. So, that's enough. We had a good time. It was great. The weather, we thought, was going to be 50. We thought the weather was going to be bad. It was predicted to get rain, and they were saying, at the first of the week, 70% chance. Then they dropped it to 60, then 50. By the time Saturday morning rolled around, they said the rains weren't going to be hitting us until late afternoon, and maybe as low as a 30% chance. Actually, the rains did hit us late afternoon, but all the vendors were already packed up, gone, left. Pets were gone, everybody was gone, and it worked out absolutely perfectly well. It was another big event. We had people from all over the place there. The event was to benefit the Florida Skunk Rescue. Yes, Florida does have a skunk rescue group. They are legal to own skunks as pets in Florida. Some states, they're not at all. Other states, they're restricted on what skunks you can own, but Florida is no restriction. Florida Skunk Rescue is a 501c3 nonprofit corporation, and it's operated by a network of Florida skunk owners dedicated to fostering and finding homes for domestic skunks in Florida who can no longer be cared for in their current situation. And their goal is to establish a shelter facility within the next 5 years. The shelter will provide animals with temporary housing and care while they await their new forever home. So that's what it was. They're sweet little animals. They really are. The skunks are, you can litter train them. No, they do not descent them. That is a common myth. They're not descented. But the thing is, the skunks aren't going to spray unless they're upset, unless they are stressed. Now, if your dog gets it cornered somewhere in the house, it will probably turn around and spray it. But it gives it warnings and everything else before it does that. So they aren't just out there to spray just for spray's sake. They're sweet little animals. But we had Florida Skunk Rescue, Humane Society of Nature Coast, Pet Cremation, Faithful Friends Pet Cremation. We had Owl Nest Sanctuary for Wildlife. Let's see, what other? So Cute Dog Accessories, Origami Owls. Let's see, Pet Paradise, Greyhound Adoption, Gold Coast Greyhound Adoption. Limbo Chihuahuas Rescue, Boxer Rescue, Angels of Florida, Lowrider Dachshund Rescue of Florida, Los Angeles Animal Rescue, Dog and Case Hunters, Professor, everything. Somebody's calling in right here next to my head. Engineer got that. So we usually pull that so you don't hear that. Raffle Rescue was there. Circle of Life Animal Hospital. English Springer Rescue was there. Monkey Business Concessions. That's not a pair. Southwest Great Dane Rescue. Doggy Dogs and Ice Cream. True Vision, that looks like the animals. So I'm going to read you the animals. Plus, lots of people brought their animals in. Lots of people are walking around with their animals, with their pets. We had two pigs. Two different people brought their pigs in. One that was a little bit larger, pretty good sized pig, and then one was a smaller pig. I don't think it was a little pot belly, but we had two pigs. We had a lemur. The monkey. Lemur. Someone brought a lemur. Plus all sorts of different dogs, ranging from great big ones down to little bitty ones. And I didn't see any cats. Did you see any cats? No, we didn't see any cats. I guess cats aren't made for leashes and stuff like that. So no cats. But good time. A lot of fun. Great day, perfect weather, and overall, we could not have asked for just a better time and a lot of fun by everybody. So, save the date. The 6th annual Pasco Pet Fest will be October the 6th, 2018. Good chance to come out, check out the winery, visit people, and have a tasting, and we can talk and all that good stuff. So October the 6th, 2018 is the 6th annual Pasco Pet Fest. Before I forget it, let's talk about what is coming up this next week as far as food goes. Well, first, October. We didn't do the show last week, so we missed the October. 2017 is American Cheese Month, and that's American Cheese Month. That's not just American cheese, but American Cheese Month. It's National Pasta Month. Breast Cancer Awareness Month is always in October, if you're not aware of that. National Cookbook Month. National Pork Month is October. National Seafood Month is October. Yeah, and, you know, Seafood Month in October always seemed odd to me. It always has. It's not like, I don't know, harvest season or anything. I don't know. And National Apple Month. Now, that makes more sense because the apples are all out on the trees and everything now. So, those are all the month of October. Then, I have to say, Sunday the 8th, we missed it. That was National Fluffernutter Day. Today is National Pumpkin Pie Day. So once you get off the program, then pop up a National Pumpkin Pie. Tomorrow, Yorkshire Pudding Day. National M&M Day is also tomorrow. That's always fun. They made so many different flavors of that. Saturday, Chicken Cacciatore Day. And also National Dessert Day. Sunday, National Mushroom Day. You know, fried, big old fried mushrooms. Those are delicious and butter. You can match up some wine with that. And Sunday is National Red Wine Day. All right. So dig out your bottle of red wine, be it a blend, be it whatever, and down it Sunday, because that's National Red Wine Day. Monday, National World Food Day. So nothing particular. But Tuesday, National Pasta Day. Dig out your favorite pasta recipe and match that up with the wine that goes well with it. A lot of times, light red wines will go well with pastas. It depends on how heavy sauce you're putting. If you're having yourself angel hair pasta with a little bit of oil on it and a little Parmesan on top, then, you know, get yourself something a little bit lighter. That would balance well. But then if you're going garlic sauce where the fork stands up, go with the heavy reds. Wednesday the 18th, National Chocolate Cupcake Day. Not just any old cupcake, but Chocolate Cupcake Day. So there's what we got coming up for the following week here. And find yourself wines to match up and pair up with them so you can enjoy them with some food, as is always a good thing to do with wine. And let me go, let's see, where is it here? There's some other stuff that I want to tell you. Oh, why did you do that? I stay on this too long. The machine kicks it off, and I don't know why it does that. Let's see, is it not going to bring it back? No, it's not. Let's get into it, and there we go. I got a few things coming up here, emails I've gotten. And so I want to share these with you. We missed a couple of events last week. Let's see, where are we? Tassel Ridge Winery. Tassel Ridge Winery is located in Iowa. Let's see, I'll tell you in a second here as soon as I... Layton, Iowa. It's 1681 220th Street, Layton. It's outside of town, actually. It's not in town. It's outside. Real big place. Real nice place. I've been there. But they got a busy, busy October coming up for them here. Tassel Ridge has Friday Pasta Nights. Since October, like I just said, it's National Pasta Month. They have Friday Pasta Nights. They have wine tasting starting at 6, and at 6:30, dinner seating. And they celebrate Pasta Month at a wine and pasta night on Fridays. You get choices of Mediterranean pasta or penne puttanesca. I think that's how it's pronounced. I don't know. They have also bistro lunch every day, 11 to 4, Monday through Friday, and then again on 12 to 3 on Sundays, and a few select Saturdays. The Thursday the 12th, tonight, they're having October Wine Fest, and then with small plates of brat sliders, sauerkraut. Friday the 13th, October Wine Fest continues with wood-fired pizza day. The 14th is a wine dinner. The 19th, next Thursday, wine in small plates again. The following Thursday, wine and Iowa art. Friday the 20th, the wine and burger night. So they've got things coming up there. Castle Ridge Winery. They were actually on this program a while back. It's been 3 years now, I think. So check them out if you haven't. That's TASSELERIDGE. TASSEL, I'm sorry, Tassel. Tassel Ridge Winery. They got all sorts of things coming up in October here. Good deal there. And then we also have another here. If you're not in Iowa and you're more in Arizona, we've got Keith Joshua Winery in Arizona that is putting on some meals. They have on November the 4th. Now, this sounds really good. November 4th, they have Keith Joshua Vineyards and Las Vegas Steak Ranch presents a night of steak and wine. It's a four-course dinner with wine pairings each of the courses. Las Vegas, V-I-G-A-S, Steak Ranch Restaurant is noted for its authentic Mexican food. And they're joining Keith Joshua for the evening of wine. Appetizers, truffled portobello steak fries. Salad is wedge salad with sweet pepper bacon. The main course, New York strip with Keith Joshua Merlot, infused au jus. Side of au gratin potatoes and green beans sauteed with mushrooms and bacon. Carrot cake with rum caramel drizzle is dessert. $60. Reservations are required. So space is limited. So call that. Again, that is coming up on November the 4th at 6 o'clock. That is in southern Arizona, south of Tucson. And then December the 9th, they're having another date coming up. The wine club food and wine pairing is coming up on that date. So Keith Joshua Winery, Southern Arizona. Real nice dinner. Sounds great. I wish I can make it down to that. Nice guy and some great wine. Absolutely great wine. Tassel Ridge Winery again. Don't forget their bistro lunches. They do the bistro lunches all the time. No reservations are required on the bistro lunch. They've got a whole bunch of stuff. October Wine Fest is being featured in October, and there are a bunch of German-themed dinners, apple strudel for dessert and all of them, all that. Big German area up in that part of Iowa, quite a bit of German heritage in the southeast corner in that area of Iowa. So. Check that out again. Also, we're reminding you that Tassel Ridge has all that stuff coming up there. And let's see. Whispering Oaks. Whispering Oaks is here in Florida. Whispering Oaks is located on, let me pull up the address here. It's in Oxford, 10934 North County Road 475 in Oxford. That's off of I-75, heading southeastern part of the... It's north of Tampa, just about where the... Just before the toll road, the... I say toll road. What is the toll road? Engineer, help me. Turnpike. right where the turnpike splits there. It's just north of that. So good signage. You can find it very easy. But they have coming up on Friday and Saturday nights throughout the month. They are open 7 days, but Friday and Saturday nights throughout the month, they have their steak nights. Delicious appetizers along with award-winning wines and steak. Choice of a 16-ounce steak, porterhouse or ribeye, or wild-caught Alaskan salmon, Idaho baked potato, green beans, baked beans, salad bar, pumpernickel bread, $27.50 per person. What a deal, what a deal. Beautiful little place up there, too. You can go in and look at the goats in the field and everything. But really a nice setting, beautiful place. And nice people. I had a chance. He was on the program, too. Again, it's been a couple years since he's been on the program. But just beautiful. Now's a great time to be here in Florida, too. We're having some beautiful weather. Actually, it's a little bit hot. We're setting heat temperatures, high temperatures, last 3 or 4 days here. But it's supposed to get back down to normal here by next week. So come on down and check out the Whispering Oak Winery. And one more, Keith Joshua is going to have grapes and goodies, trick or treats. He has a couple of tasting rooms, his Elgin, which is the main one, and Wilcox tasting rooms. They're having a Halloween weekend, grape goodies, trick or treats. Every 12 wine tasters will get an unusual wine pairing goodie, while the 13th person gets the trick. No other information, but it might be something worth checking out if you're in the area. Again, some great food that they're offering and all that. So, Keith Joshua in Arizona. And then Whispering Oaks, one more thing I got here, just a reminder of the dinner, but Sunday, this Sunday, 1/2 juicy barbecued chicken, fresh from the open pit barbecue, mashed potatoes and gravy, vegetables, and a beverage of your choice, be it a glass of wine, beer, or soda, $14.95. Reservations are requested for that. So lots of stuff starting to happen around the country and all that. It's cooling off most places. It's getting a little bit easier out there to navigate. It's getting a little bit easier to sit outside and enjoy these meals and all that. And so lots of things are happening. So check them out. It's all wine. It's all good. We don't have a festival coming up until the 28th. And then I have a class on the 29th. But more on that later. Let's go into what I was going to talk about here for a while. The wildfires in California. I'm sure you've seen some things about it or heard things about it. They've talked about it on TV and all that. And they hit it lightly. The newspaper articles are interesting. If you get the paper, it's interesting. But it doesn't go into some of the detail that I found here. The detail is frightening. It really is. It's frightening what's happening. They don't know the cause of it. It is killing people. It is destroying wineries. The toll as of the 12th, which was this morning in the paper, is 21. I think I heard a later update on that put that up quite a bit higher. The winds are devastating. That's what's really causing more problems than anything else, is the winds. Once the winds die down, they might be able to control it, but the winds are pushing that all over the place. People can't get out. It's the winds blowing so hard, 75 to 80 mile an hour winds. The 75 to 80 mile an hour winds, that's a hurricane, for heaven's sakes. That's, that was knocking over trees here in Florida a month ago at those speeds. So 75, they're just pushing the fire around, letting the fire burn up the trees. 75, 80 mile an hour, those things are going so fast, people can't get out of their house. They look out, they see a fire a couple miles from them, and they start putting stuff in the car, and they look out the window again, and there's the flame. It's that quick. And it's killed people. That's why people aren't getting out. I don't know if you heard about the older couple who've been married for like 75 years. They met in elementary school, and he was 101, she was 97 or something like that, and they perished in the fire. They couldn't get out. So it is devastating. But I'm gonna go through some stuff here on some of the things I got here about the fire that I didn't see in the paper and stuff. These are different things that they're talking about on the fire that I found interesting. This is October 11th at 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Now, this is October 11th at 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So just after noon yesterday, they're saying at least 21 dead and 3 wineries destroyed as they're still battling the fire. Largest blazes spreading dramatically as condition worsened on Wednesday. Signorolo, Frey, and Paradise Ridge burned, along with as many as 2,000 other buildings. Just devastating. Updated October 11th, 1 p.m., CAL FIRE reports that there are now 22 major fires in the state, and they have burned 170,000 acres and killed at least 21 people. A new fire has sprung up in Sonoma County and two other small ones that became major concerns, one near Kenwood, one east of Roanoke Park, and one east of Boise Hot Springs. The update of a couple hours earlier was saying the reports at least 5 wineries of significant or total damage, and 11 have some damage to the winery, other buildings, or the vineyard. It's just a devastating fire. Napa's Atlas Peak has burned 26,000 acres, according to CAL FIRE, from the Stags Leap area to the northern limits of the city of Napa itself, which has prompted mass evacuations on the east side of the valley. Signorello Estate Winery was destroyed. The proprietor, Ray Signorello, nor the team has been able to get back in there to fully assess the damage, but they do know that the winery and the residents did not survive this fire. The 2015 vintage of red wines and 2016 vintage of white wines were safely stored off the property in American Canyon. American Canyon is located, in case you'd like to know, just it's north of Berkeley, east of Berkeley, in an area of Antioch, California, up north of Antioch, that area there. So that's where American Canyon is. The winemaking teams were on the property fighting fires, but retreated when it overcame the buildings. All the employees are safe. There's some buildings at Stag's Leap Winery were destroyed. Flames spread rapidly on Soda Canyon Road, home to a lot of elite vineyards, and damage to William Hill Estate and some of the buildings there. Hundreds of guests were evacuated from Silverado Resort as flames approached the buildings. The resort remains closed, but as of this report yesterday, no damage. The California Highway Patrol has airlifted 24 workers off of Atlas Peak late last night, according to the California Department of Forestry and Fire Protection. They were harvesting. That area was all in the middle of harvesting, winemakers and crews and everything. The fire came very close to the vineyards before evacuation, but they think the winery is okay. Jennifer Scott, Director of Communications at St. Michelle Wine Estates, reports that all the employees of Stag's Leap wine cellars are safe. Right now, the wineries have had minimal damage or minimal effects on it, she said. They're closely monitoring Stag's Leap wine cellars to see what's happening there. Napa Valley Vintners estimates that 90% of the Appalachian's grapes have been picked before the fires started. What remains on the vines is Cabernet Sauvignon, which is a thick-skinned variety that is more resistant to smoke taint. While the organization is still collecting reports from members and most in the most dangerous areas have not checked in, it says that out of 120, at least 5 wineries have significant or total damage, and 11 have some damage to the winery, other buildings, or vineyards. Sonoma County, excuse me, let me take a drink here. I don't have wine, the iced tea, because I get so much of it because of the sinus. The Tubbs Fire, which began near Calistoga in northern Napa Valley, it's exploded from the original 200 acres to nearly 20,000 acres in just a matter of a few hours. It has damaged vineyards in the Fountain Grove District, which is actually Sonoma's newest appellation. Anthony Perlis of Perlis Estates in Calistoga said they escaped in the last minute through the fire and flames. The winds and flames were so intense, and he was trying to put out stuff with a garden hose, but all of a sudden it just overtook them, and they had to escape, and they're not sure if anything survived, the home or vineyard or anything. Neighborhoods in the city of Santa Rosa were also ablaze. It jumped Highway 101, which is the major artery to the county, burning businesses, high schools, and homes. The Hilton Sonoma Wine County Hotel and Paradise Ridge Winery were two of dozens of businesses that had burned, and a lot of different restaurants. So you mentioned the list of two or three of them here. Sutter and Kaiser hospitals were forced to evacuate patients as the fire approached. It has burned in the Glen Ellen, Sonoma Valley, and Bennett Valley areas and is growing to 5,000 acres. This is the Nuns Fire. I don't know where they get the name. I guess where they started. I'm not sure how that works. I guess where the fire started, and that's the name that has been given. Let's see, it had merged, the Nuns Fire had merged with another fire and is burning in the hills around Glen Ellen. Marsha Mickelson of Kundi Family Winery said that the southern part of the ranch was burning last night but was able to get it to stop on its way to the rest of the ranch and winery. Glen Ellen and Kenwood are just decimated, they're saying. Wow. Gunlash Bunshu in Sonoma posted on social media on Tuesday that it was still fighting the good fight. On Tuesday night, the owners updated, our property sustained some fire damage, but our winery structures are all intact. We unfortunately lost our family house on the property, but our family and employees are all safe. Those fires, they burn so hot that it's just a matter of, it's like throwing a house into Kindle. What? I can't think of my word. See, now that's where I need Mike to tell me more. Into a stove, into a burner, and they just boom. It's gone. It's so fast. Calling the fires devastating, Sonoma County Wine Growers President Carissa Cruz noted, while 90% of the wine grapes have been harvested, there are still grapes in the vineyards that were scheduled to be picked in the next 10 days. Further south, yet another fire was raging in Canaris. Nicholson Ranch Winery was threatened, but it has not burned. So there's some reports out there that said it had. It has not. An email from Artisa Winery in Canaris reports the fires did reach our vineyard, but our winery was thankfully spared. Mendocino's fire, too, and it doesn't just stop there in those two counties. Mendocino, which is just north, the fire in Mendocino has increased to 21,000 acres by Tuesday morning. And here we are Thursday afternoon, so no telling what's happening now. The Mendocino Sheriff's Department reports that a strong wind knocked over power lines in Potter Valley. A sergeant on patrol spotted a ground fire that quickly swept through Redwood Valley. And the fires, the Potter Valley and Redwood Valley fires had merged and were doing multiple damage to multiple buildings and forcing evacuations in Redwood Valley, Eagle Peak, and parts of Potter Valley. These are all winery areas, too. I mean, just so many wineries in these areas. Nathan Frey of Frey Vineyards reported on Tuesday that his family's winery is gone. Our winery is burned down, and most of the family homes, though our warehouse is intact. The homes of many friends and neighbors also burned, and our heart goes out to all of them. Jack Fetzer of Moosett in Redwood Valley only recently built a winery in the Eagle Peak Appalachian overlooking the valley. It's been devastating in Redwood Valley, he said. We were told to evacuate in Eagle Peak, but stayed to help with our dozers and water truck. Unfortunately, many of our friends lost everything. Lots and lots of vineyards and homes in Redwood Valley are gone. Wine growers are trying to gather information and provide resources for its members, some of whom are struggling to harvest their grapes. It is said that most of the white grapes are in, but estimates that only 50% of Mendocino's red grapes have been picked. Now, this is the report as of October 11th at 1 p.m. Oh, no. October 11th at 8:45 Pacific Standard Time. So, if you're on the West, that's West Coast. So, East Coast, that's 11:45, almost noon here. So, that was October 11th. Now, let's see if I have anything more up to date that I can pull up here. Oh, before we do that, let me this little quick article. Winter scramble before the fire comes in. Blazes, torches, Napa, Sonoma wineries and vineyards. There's just some phenomenal pictures coming out of there, too. There's a picture I'm looking at now from Gunlash Bunchu Winery in Sonoma County, and it shows the vineyard, and then the hills behind it are just, you know, the smoke rising up from it, and the red skies behind it from the fires. It's just a map. Here's a live map of wildfires burning in Sonoma and Napa County, and it's just amazing. I mean, the all over the place. And it's so dry. They had the drought for so many years there. And though they did get rains, it really didn't stop the fires or anything. What the rains did was actually replenish water supplies and stuff, but it did not stop the dry underbrush. And once those rains run off or soak in and gets a little bit hot again, that's immediately dried out. A lot of this smoke is hitting San Francisco, too. It's working its way down to San Francisco, and they're finding a lot of the smoke in San Francisco. Let me look at this map here. This is just amazing how much of that area. There's actually fires north of Ukiah, which is up toward the National Forest, Redwood Forest, up in that area. There's a few fires in the foothills, too, of California. I've always read your properties, and your properties are The properties in the foothills area are some fires around there too. Let's see what we got here. This is, there's Antioch, Vallejo, Concord. Concord is where I live. There's no fires around there that I can see. But a lot of them in the Napa area there. Wow. Back up here. Go back to this here. Okay, let's see. That was the 9th, the 10th is Sonoma Napa Fires. Forced to close. Most of the Napa Valley is forced to close. Not letting anybody into the areas. The White Rock Vineyards, which was established in 1870. Turn that down. Get that on. Where is it? Here we go. No. Skip this, and we will also mute this, and so we don't have to listen to that anymore. This is a devastating fire. I lost what I was just reading there. I hate it when it doesn't. Napa. Here we go. Massive fire continues to burn in the epicenter of the U.S. wine industry. Vintners brace to confront the long-term consequence of a disastrous event that could affect the supply of grapes to the quality of the region's wine and the local tourism industry for years to come. Of the hundreds of wineries in the region, only all were forced to close Monday, and a handful of wineries were burned to the ground, such as Signorilla Estate Napa and Paradise Ridge in Santa Rosa. Others, including Continuum Estate on Napa's Pritchard Hill and Cliff Lead Vineyards in Yountville, remained untouched but were vigilantly watched as fires surged closer and closer. Now, this, again, is from the 10th. So, it could have changed. Some historic properties were lost. White Rock Vineyards, whose Soda Canyon area winery was first established in 1870, was completely gone. And some historic vineyards, especially in the Sonoma Valley, irreplaceable old vines dating back to the 19th century in some cases, were feared to be singed. Other winery owners are still trying to determine the extent of the damage. And this video here is just—it's just a devastating video. It's driving through town, showing everything on fire: the cars, houses, everything. It's just absolutely devastating what this fire is doing to that area. Let's go back here. This is something. Now you say, okay, so they're having fires out in California. What does this mean to the wine industry? How is this going to affect the wine industry? Well, it's going to affect it quite a bit, actually. Just about everybody in the country gets grapes from California. And they have. For years and years, California has furnished grapes to all over the place. The grapes price is going to go up from the Napa area. Wildfires are finishing the highly anticipated grape harvest. Workers, instead of out in the field picking, are trying to put out fires. Instead of picking nice, juicy grapes, they're melted in black and wine bottles or decorating areas like the Signorilla Estates and Ridge Winery. It's About 12% of grapes grown in California are in Sonoma, Napa, and surrounding counties. But they are the highest quality grapes, the high value grapes. So it's hard to predict correctly what's going to happen to this year's crop. And maybe smoke damage. I've talked about smoke taint before on the program. You can go back and check out archive episodes about smoke taint. And I talk quite extensively about smoke taint. But even if the wines now were heavily affected by smoke, it doesn't carry over until the next season. Only it's in the fruit itself. So once this is gone, but if the vineyards are gone, 5 years to get your full crop back. And that's another issue. The speed of the fire has stunned people. It's went so fast. It has spread so fast in all the areas and all the different things, all the different hillsides and through towns and stuff. It's just been a frightening, scary fire that has went through all this stuff. Let me go back. Okay, that is the 10th. Let's go back and to the 11th. No, let's go 12th. Here's this. This is today's. Couple articles here. It says vineyards may have kept wine country far from getting worse, which is an interesting concept here. Christian Palmage used hoes, shovels, and rakes to keep flames from his family's 19th century vineyard estate on the flanks of Mount St. George in eastern Napa Valley. But he said he didn't have to worry about his vines. They're green, very much alive, in stark contrast to the more than 500 acres of oak, manzanita, and grassland charred by the Atlas fire as it tore through the property. Napa Sonoma Valley struggled through days of the raging firestorm that has already claimed at least 29 lives. There we go. I guess that's the newest update. Many vineyards in the nearly 100,000-acre burned areas appear to be merging largely unscathed. Well, there you go. That's the latest report. The lush rows of green vines stand in stark contrast to tens of thousands of acres of oak wildlands, as well as an entire residential neighborhoods that has been scorched or burnt down. Oh, by the way, did you see where Morgan Freeman passed away today? That's sad. He was always enjoyed his stuff. For all the frightening images of flames consuming wineries and tasting rooms and looming over the background of the region's postcard-perfect vineyards, the wine country blazes so far appear to be mainly an urban catastrophe. 14 people were killed in the Sonoma, mostly around the city of Santa Rosa, where the Tubbs fire consumed more than 2,800 suburban tract homes, as well as hotels, restaurants, and other facilities that have grown around the region's wine industry. The toll from those losses is expected to be enormous, but so far only a handful of winery buildings have been destroyed, while a scattering of others have suffered partial damage. Vineyards Save Lives, Executive Director of Napa Valley Grape Growers Association, Jennifer Putnam, said, "They saved vineyards and lives in Napa County, and it's clear as it can be." She has a degree in forestry, so her assessment is. Even at the Napa Signorilla Estate, where a building housing the taste room burned to the ground, 40 acres of decades-old vines survived. The vines appeared to be almost 100% intact, said Ray Signorilla, the owner. The fires just came up to the edge of the vineyard and stopped. This year's crop has been harvested already and was unscathed. Barreled wine stored in a separate still side building was also undamaged. Fire crews used the vineyards to their advantage to ensure that they can stop the spread of fire or stop the front of the fire from coming through. They said that some of the damage to some of the crops where the heat was just so intense it actually burned the vine. that was not widespread. The wine industry has odds in its favor before the wind-driven fires erupted. Only about 10% of Napa County is given over to growing grapes. A similar share of Sonoma County is planting grapes, much of it in open flatlands along the Russian River. As much as 85% of the grapes have already been picked, and the vines have not gone dormant. They are also very little cover crop between rows, which is planted to restore nutrients. When dried out, that growth can provide a ladder fuel that could destroy the vines, but there weren't a whole lot of them there to do it. 90% of, Palmas thought that grass, kind of grass and brush around buildings and lost the guest house, but the three-story Henry Hagen estate built in 1876 was spared. 90% of the property is wildland, and it all burned except for the vineyard. Some vines were charred but were still alive, they're saying. They can be heat damaged. That's where we're going to have to wait and see. They won't show the effects instantly. It's not like a piece of kindling that goes up. It's more like a house plant that you don't water. They were shocked about how much vineyard acreage was spared the worst of the flames. In Sonoma County, Carissa Cruz, again the president of Sonoma County Wines, said she also saw a remarkable contrast between green vines and charred suburban neighborhoods. The ends of the vine rows, you could see the cover crop was burned, but then everything else was just fine. Goes on to talk to a few other people here. California 29, which goes to the heart of Napa, was open, allowing some of the producers and people to get back to their places and houses and all that. But according to this article, the vineyards survived very well. So, and the crops already picked. So, if that is the case, then maybe this isn't as devastating in the overall wine industry around the country and Napa and all that as what was first feared. Excuse me. As of this morning, Mingler, who is this? Carissa Krause, Sonoma County, president of Sonoma County Wine Growers, Tony Lingler is Sonoma County's Agricultural Commission. He said that, I can tell you I saw quite a few grape trucks this morning hauling gondolas full of fruit. So growers are actively trying to get the fruit off. He knows that. So maybe out of all this, the vineyards might survive. The brush, the trees, the areas that have the dead underbrush, not so well. But the vineyards, because of no cover crop, and they're just, from what they're saying here, they survived well. So, again, the report's not completely in. We will have to wait and see. But as of now, it is looking good. Also, different areas are helping out. Sonoma County Vineyards, or Venters, Sonoma County Venters, have formed a support network, and they're assisting in long-term and short-term aid to victims of the fire. North Bay Fire's BSG Wine has warehouses all over, and they said that they're willing to help and get it into the warehouses. North Bay Winery's cooling relief for your wine. They have chillers and fan coils to provide cooling to the wineries if needed. There's also Turntime Brokerage, which is business in small communities. You know people in business and helping them. Also, Wright Contracting, McDonnell Electric, all these are giving discounts and ready to help all the areas, Napa and Sonoma areas, get back on their feet, save the grapes, save whatever they can or whatever they need to save, so that it's not going to be, they'll have some place to put their grapes, as opposed to if buildings got burned down and stuff like that. So everybody's coming together. Everybody's working together and all that. It might not be as devastating to the grape industry as originally thought. Not to diminish at all. Not to diminish how critical and how serious the fire was. And the 27 lives as of the latest report that, you know, our thoughts and prayers go out to all those people and the families and everything. But as far as the grapes go and as far as the grape industry, it looks pretty good. So there's your report on the fire as of this week. I'll fill you in a little bit more next week. I tried to call a couple of wineries, but it was impossible to get through for some reason today. So I didn't get a chance to do it. But we'll keep you informed. We'll keep you going on what's going on. We'll keep you informed of what's happening. And we will let you know next week what more we found out and what more has been happening. So, we are done for another week. I said it might be a little bit early, but, you know, as always, I end up talking a lot more than I think I will. So, tune in next week. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Thanks for those of you listening on archives. And tune in next week. We hope Mike will be back on his feet and joining us. We'll look forward to talking to you and seeing you next week. Have yourself a wonderful week. Drink lots of wine and be safe out there.
This concludes tonight's broadcast of All About Wine on Blog Talk Radio with your host, Ron, originating from Florida State's Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Florida State's Winery is located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida, 4 miles west of Interstate 75 or east of US 19 and US 41. For more information on Florida State's Winery, visit the website at floridastateswines.com or call 813-996-2113. That's 813-996-2113. The winery is open daily, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. For show information, links to All About Wine on Twitter and Facebook, or to be a guest on the show, visit the show website at www.allaboutwinebtr.com. Archive shows are available for download on iTunes or on our show page at blogtalkradio.com/allaboutwine. Thank you for listening. Drink responsibly, and we'll see you next time on All About Wine.